Hi there, you're listening to the Estranged Heart Podcast, and I'm your host, Creed Revere. Welcome back to our returning listeners, and if this is your first time here, thank you for selecting this podcast to listen to. As we begin today's episode, I invite you to grab a cup of coffee or tea, settle in, and listen with an open heart. But first, the regular disclaimer. I am not a licensed therapist or counselor. Nothing within this podcast should be considered or taken as therapy. If you are in need of therapeutic support, such as counseling, please seek out a therapist near you. Hi there. A couple of announcements and reminders before we dive into today's episode. There will be continued support groups throughout the summer, and I would like to invite you to consider, if you've been considering joining one of the support groups that I offer, but feel that maybe the summertime is not the best time. People are busy, vacations, you know, traveling, things like that. I totally understand, but I'd like to offer this for consideration. Sometimes joining a group in the summertime can be helpful in that there's a separation from Mother's Day and that holiday, and then the holidays in the fall and winter. And sometimes when we're inundated with those holidays and things seem to be escalated and more intense, it's, yes, we need support even more so then, but also the support in the summertime can afford you an opportunity to relax into learning and growing and being able to actually practice some of your new tools in a tool belt before things become overwhelming, as they tend to do during the holidays. So just putting that out there, if you've been considering joining, the summertime might be a really good time to quote unquote dip your toe in the water and give it a test run. As a reminder, I will have groups starting mid to late June, and more information regarding specifics of these groups will be forthcoming the first part of June. And these groups will be for estranged mothers, recently reconciled mothers, estranged adult children, and possibly a group or groups for estranged adult children and estranged moms who are therapists. So if you belong to any one of those groups and you would like additional support, please feel free to email me at theestrangedheart@gmail.com, and I'm happy to send you an application or answer any questions that you may have. Yes, there is a fee for these groups. However, these groups are small in size, so that there's ongoing group coaching that happens in the process of these groups. There are lessons and support from other moms or other adult children within the group. A note for the recently reconciled moms. Sometimes this is a group who don't necessarily understand the value of a support group until they're in it, and then oftentimes they're not able to find support for them. There's lots of support groups for estranged parents, but for those who have recently reconciled, that support is not generally found. When we are estranged, we tend to focus on just doing whatever it takes to become reconciled. And we don't understand all the things that come with navigating a relationship that has recently reconciled. So if you are looking for support around those topics, please reach out. I am happy to help with this. You know, if you've reconciled and you're wondering now what, or you've reconciled and you feel like you're walking on eggshells and you'd rather not be walking on eggshells, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to help support you through that. And then an announcement, there are transcripts available now for the podcast for each episode available on Spotify. So if that is of interest to you, you can locate those on Spotify. And if you are looking for one-on-one coaching support, I have a couple of openings for the summer. And so if you're interested in that, email me. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have or forward information regarding my coaching program, my one-on-one coaching program. And again, that email is theestrangedheart@gmail.com. So the quote for today is "Never lose a holy curiosity," and that is by Albert Einstein. On to today's episode. Hi there. Today's episode is I will be sharing two stories of reconciliation. And I thought it was important to share these two particular stories. The mothers have given me permission, and I think it's important to cover these because these were what we call tend to call the long haulers. Their estrangements, one lasted for 10 years, the other one for 9 years, and one reached out to their adult child, the other one, the adult child reached out to the parent. And what I tend to see in a lot of the support groups for estranged parents is a sense of hopelessness if reconciliation doesn't happen by year two or three of estrangement. Parents tend to get into a place where they feel they'll never reconcile, that their children don't love them, and that their kids have no desire to have a relationship with them at all. And I'd like to offer just a different perspective on that through these stories today. I'm oftentimes talking about with my clients, with folks in my support groups, and just keeping that small flicker of a flame of hope going while also moving on with your life. I'm not a fan nor an advocate of holding on to hope to the extent that you become paralyzed and are not able to move forward with your life. As parents, our children, we want our adult children to return to us, to return to a mother or father or both who are happy and healthy and living their life while also missing their kid. And what is disturbing to me as a formerly estranged mom, as a formerly estranged adult child, and now as an estrangement coach, is to see parents who say, "I'm done. I'm just done. I don't give a crap if they come back or not." Now, I know from having done all of the work I've done on myself, having gone through the trainings that I've gone through, the education and things like that, that what is speaking for parents like that is it's their way of saying, "I don't want to be hurt again." And so they're pretty harsh in their delivery of that, and they've put up walls, and they don't want to risk being hurt. And I would offer those parents who might be listening to this episode, I'd offer you this. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Our children display behaviors that don't necessarily convey their true feelings. They too are hurting and are throwing up walls, just as we tend to do, because they don't want to be hurt. And oftentimes it takes the parent leading the way to show them the way that, oh, I can change my behaviors and do things differently in order for the child to then have trust and be able and want to come back and be in close relationship with them once again. So I just want to offer that. I think, you know, there's nothing that's final until we take our last breath. We don't know what tomorrow holds. There's no way to know what tomorrow holds. I've heard of way too many stories. I've been a part of several of those where the kids just pop back up 5, 10, 15, 20 years later. And so I don't subscribe to just giving up hope. I recognize that some parents, in order to move on, need to place that hope aside. But I think, again, language is important here, right? Instead of saying I'm giving up hope, it could be that I'm setting hope aside so that I can begin to move forward with my life and then develop a different relationship with hope. That's for another episode down the line. So the first story that I wanted to share with you is a mom who had been a listener of the podcast, and she reached out to me after 10 years of estrangement with her son, after having received a text message out of the blue one day from him. She tells me she had given up hope. She was moving on with her life and had grieved not having a relationship with her son and not having a relationship with his three children, her three grandchildren. And then all of a sudden he shows up, quote unquote, shows up via text, and she doesn't know what to do. So she reached out to me in complete shock and, oh my God, now what? What do I do? How do I respond? Where do we go from here? All of those questions and more. So we talked and I walked her through a couple of different things, and she came back and said, well, one of the things that my son has said is that in order to have a relationship with him, I needed to make things right with his wife, my daughter-in-law. And I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go with that. I don't know how to do that. So I worked with her in helping her to figure out what that would look like. What were some of the possibilities? What were there specific requirements that he or her daughter-in-law were laying down? And we came up with sending an amends letter to her daughter-in-law. And so she wrote the amends letter. I reviewed it with her. We made some edits. She sat with it and she ended up sending it to him after we met again for a final review. And she felt really good about it. So she sent the email off, and within, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours of receiving the email, the daughter-in-law reached out to her and thanked her for sending the letter, thanked her for acknowledging the things that she acknowledged, and that she appreciated that her mother-in-law had taken the time to acknowledge and accept responsibility for a lot of things that had occurred. Some of the big issues, one of the big issues with the daughter-in-law, with the mom, the mother-in-law, were boundaries regarding the children, the grandchildren. And so when I met with the mom, we also talked about that and what that would look like, boundaries moving forward and why boundaries are put into place and how could we look at things differently from a different perspective. And that all went into this letter. So she begins very slowly to have a relationship with her son. And he learns that she's going to be making a trip up to the state where he lives and invited her to come up to see him. And when she got back from that trip, she sent me this letter and she gave me permission to share this letter. I have changed a few things just regarding locations and names so as to not or so as to keep confidentiality as much as possible. But she did give me permission and I'll read that to you as well. So she says, "Hi, Creed. I just got back from visiting with my son yesterday, and wow, where do I start? My son and I had spoken over the phone one other time prior to this trip. He said he would like to see me when I got to this state, just the two of us for lunch, and I said sure. Before I left, we were cleaning out the garage, and wouldn't you know it, I found a random box I hadn't gone through since we had moved. It happened to be a box of pictures of my son's dad and I before we were married, our small wedding, me pregnant with him, even the birth of him. Other pictures also included his first few birthdays, him getting older, family gatherings, etc. And I thought, God is trying to tell me something here. He had asked his sister if I would give him his baby album once before, and back then, I laughed and thought, never. I decided to make him a quick photo book with collages of all of those pictures, ending in a page of just him and his sister and a page of just me and him through the years. I wrote a special note and found a quote and put it on the last page. He and his wife came to his grandmother's house and spent hours. We all talked together. It was very casual, and I greeted him with a hug, telling him how happy I was to see him and how much I missed and loved him. I greeted his wife with a hug too. It was like almost a decade hadn't even happened. I was careful not to ask anything about ki the kids, kept the focus on them, meaning the son and daughter-in-law. Of course, his grandma asked about the kids, and I found out information through that conversation. He talked about his home and showed me pictures. My daughter-in-law talked about her job and their new lifestyle, stuff like that. My son got to talk to his sister and played a lot with his nephew, which they had never really done. Then, of course, for the finale, I gave him the book, and he was just about in tears. And I passed it along also to my daughter-in-law for her to see. He thanked me so much for doing that. That was definitely a great choice to do for him. So after our meeting, he sent me this quote, "When things calm down, I'll let you know about some upcoming stuff that me and my wife would like you to be a part of if you can or want to. We will keep moving forward and hopefully things will continue to get better between us. I enjoyed our time together today. I love you." Later, he even sent me a picture of my grandson and their new dog. He wished me a safe trip back and to let him know when I got back and to call anytime. I would say that this is looking like a good reconciliation. I can't thank you enough for helping me with the amends letter to my daughter-in-law. Nothing would have been possible without that, and there was nothing I could have possibly written without your help. If you ever want me on the podcast or want to read any or all of this letter, please do so. I had lost hope, and if it can help, another grieving mother who feels as hopeless and crushed as I had been, especially with an estrangement as long as mine, then I would love to give that hope. Couldn't have done it without you and can't say thank you enough. Lots of love. Signed, the client. So this is a story, again, she had been estranged for 10 years. And one day her son, out of the blue, texted her. So I hope that this can serve as some inspiration for those of you who might be in that category of the long haulers. There are no guarantees. However, stranger things have happened than to have, again, these kids just show up one day out of the blue. The second story is of a recently reconciled mom. She actually shared her story on this podcast in January of 24. I believe it was episode 108. If you're interested in going back and listening to that episode to kind of get the background. But at that time, she had been estranged 8 years and had total silence. She had not had any contact at all with her adult child. And now she is back in contact with her daughter after 9 years now of total silence. And this mom is a member of, she's a member of my Facebook support group, has been for a couple of years. And she is, has also attended support groups that I have had, as well as workshops. So she, in addition to that, she's done 7 years, 7+ years of therapy, meditation, and has her own spiritual practice that she contributes to all of this and being able to reconcile. So her story was that she was estranged from her only child, a daughter who is in her mid-40s. And she had been with a friend. This mom had been with a friend of hers. And the friend just kept saying she couldn't believe how, you know, how is your daughter living with herself and doing these things to you? Which is a standard response and comment that is given often by people who love and care about us. I think it's often done as a way of demonstrating that love and care and concern. But oftentimes estranged mothers, that really is bothersome for us to have folks talk about our children like that. So this mom sat with that over several days, and then she reached out to her daughter on Facebook Messenger and asked her daughter if she would be interested in reconciling. And her daughter said yes and said, "I'm in pain not having you in my life. I'm in pain having you in my life." She asked her mom what she was wanting out of the relationship, what she needed and expected. And this mom said, "More peace in each of our hearts." Her daughter called her and they talked for a couple of hours on the phone. And they've been in contact ever since. So this mom had some health challenges about 6 months ago and is grateful for this second chance. And I wanted to just give you my response when she posted this in our group. My response to her was, This is the reason why I encourage parents to keep that little flicker of hope flame alive. 9 years of total silence, and yet here you are together with your daughter at the beginning of a new journey. All of that hard work you have done has paid off tenfold. May you continue to walk your path along next to hers. As your paths converge, may your heart guide you. And she replied, thank you for all that you've shared and continue to. You have such strength and lots of courage in teaching us boundaries that guide us to remain in the role of mother with dignity. And finally, with love as the guiding principle is so beautiful. I am going to remember that. And we'll be coming back to check in. You've created a wonderful community here that gives us life energy and direction in one of the most difficult and challenging times in life. Thank you. She took her pain and heartache and anger and all the emotions that come with that, and she transformed it and turned it all into compassion. And so when she reached out to her daughter, she did so in a way that was freeing. She did not reach out. We oftentimes will reach out and it feels to us and to others, so our children, that it's a grasping, that we're grabbing at them to please come back to us. And this mom has done so much work on herself that she's worked through her own traumas that have allowed her to come to a place where she can allow her daughter to make decisions, whatever those decisions are, and be content with those decisions. Not to say that it wouldn't hurt her and that she would have felt pain if her daughter had not responded or had responded in a negative way, but she released her daughter from an expectation and burden to be responsive to her and to do things her way. And that brings such peace and freedom to both parties. I applaud these mothers and their courage to continue to engage in ways that were healthy, that were not pointing the finger and talking in derogatory ways about their children. They stepped into the unknown and are finding their way. And I think that this, I don't think I know. For those of you who think that you can't, you're just one person and you can't change the world, I'm here to tell you that's a lie. And these moms are proof of that. Because these ripple out effects that we have when we do our work and we can reach out with compassion to other people, the ripple out effect is tremendous. And that compassion just exudes into other relationships. And this is how we have and come to a more peaceful world. No one will ever be able to convince me that that's not true. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. So I am hoping that somewhere, somehow today, and in the days to come, as you listen to this particular episode, that you can find that small flicker of hope still alive and keep it tucked safely in your heart as you continue to go on about your day. Again, as a reminder, nothing is permanent until we take our last breath. Until then, anything is possible. There can always be hope. If you would like support in navigating this, navigating being recently reconciled, please reach out. I am happy to help support you. Until next time. The This brings this episode to a close. I hope that this time together was time you feel well spent and that you are able to find some takeaway nuggets to help you on your journey, wherever you may be on your estrangement and reconciliation path. If you feel you've received something helpful or positive from this podcast, please consider following us, sharing this podcast with others, leaving a positive review, perhaps entertaining becoming a guest on our show, or following us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok under the same name, The Estranged Heart. As a reminder, there is an online support group on Facebook. If you are a estranged mom who identifies as being spiritual and approaches estrangement with a sense of curiosity rather than blame and judgment and desire to do inner self-work and reflection, please seek us out. We can be found at facebook.com/estrangedmothers support group. And lastly, if you are an estranged parent or an estranged adult child and would like to have your story shared on the podcast, anonymously or not, please reach out to me via email at theestrangedheart@gmail.com.